This is the World Cup Sound of Football.
Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of the World Cup Sound of Football with me, Chris Oakley, plus Graham Sibley and Terry DeFellin. Hello Terry and Graham.
Hello.
Now then, England may no longer be involved in the World Cup, but we are, and today we're covering the second round match between Spain and Portugal, a match involving a great many stars of the Champions League, Premier League, La Liga and beyond. Terry, which players are you particularly looking forward to seeing this evening?
I'm looking forward to seeing all of them, Chris. No, I'm looking forward to, obviously, to seeing Xavi and Iniesta and David Villa and all of them. Yes, I know. But the Spanish, I know a lot more about the Spanish forward line than I do about the Portuguese forward line, with one exception, of course. For the Portuguese,
would it be easier if I said who you're not looking forward to?
I'm not too fussed about Ricardo Carvalho, if I'm being completely brutally honest with you. And I notice, I'm going to put my cards on the table here. I haven't actually seen much of Portugal this World Cup on account of the scheduling and the whole being at work stuff. And I noticed that Liedson is on the bench, but I think he was playing quite a lot in qualifiers. Is that the case, or is that a shock?
He came on late in the last game, actually. In the game against South Korea.
That wasn't the last game.
That was the game before last, wasn't it? The last game was the Brazil game, and that was
the Brazil game,
and that was utterly dire. So
that wasn't the game at all, really, was it? By all accounts,
no.
But yes, I mean, this is a mouth-watering match. It's got to be said, irrespective of how much you know about it. I sound like a BBC pundit now, don't I? I'm not on 250 grand a year, listeners, though. So it's okay for me to have no knowledge.
I thought Lee Dixon walked in the room.
Thanks, mate.
Don't know that put you off.
I'm gonna swear down the microphone at you every time you speak now, then you won't be able to hear me on the podcast, because you'll be all roaring, la, 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 and then there's this, and I'll be going, wanker, wanker, wanker.
Oh dear. Well, in that case, I'm going to talk to Graham then.
You think you're going to get anything better from me?
Let me put a slightly kind of mind-bending question to you then. Do you feel we're in danger of underselling this match or overselling it?
I've got to be really careful here, because my pre-match predictions have been utterly dire this World Cup. This should be a good game, and you know, Portugal, all right, they didn't impress last time out against Brazil, but they are
with
a good,
good
team,
reason,
and they play well together. And I think you can discount that game against Brazil because of the situation they were both in. All they had to do was see out a draw, and they were both through. So, I think you can't. It's tantalisingly close, isn't it? And you sort of think, this should be a really good game. And you, on paper, you'd say yes, Spain are the better side. But you just kind of think, Portugal have been playing some really good football. I managed to see the game they played against who was it now? I saw the second half against Korea. That was good, and I saw their second half against Ivory Coast. As it is, you know, obviously, like all their games have been early, so been able to snatch a few looks at them. But you know, no, they've turned up. They haven't conceded a goal yet either, have they?
Well, I was just going to say, Terry. I mean, as Graham said, they've been playing well, Portugal, but particularly in defence, they haven't let very many goals in of late. And far be it for me to mention Carvalho, but they're well drilled, shall we say, by your man Quiroz. And for that reason, can we expect Spain to struggle, because they struggled against a very well drilled defensively Swiss side, so possibility that they might struggle again.
Well, you would imagine. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. No, it was you. Yeah, you're wrong.
You would imagine that Portugal would be a little bit more ambitious from an attacking point of view. Than the Swiss, who I think would very much play the sort of try to hold the opposition together and shake them long enough until they give up a goal. Whereas I think Portugal perhaps may be a little bit more open than that. Again, forgive me if this sounds like idle speculation, but I would think that Portugal would have a little bit more attacking guile and ambition to perhaps allow a little bit more space. But it's a testimony to Quiroz, actually, isn't it? Because he took a heck of a lot of stick in the qualifying round, and they were a bit, by accounts, they were a bit ramshackle and a bit disorganised. But he's got them in, and he does got them playing with some shape, again by accounts, from what I can understand. And so I would imagine that this will not be quite like Switzerland. It might be a bit more like Chile. The game against Chile, in which Chile showed a bit more ambition than Switzerland. But I think that's as far as I think I can comment.
I think in this World Cup campaign, Chris, Portugal have played 15 games so far, and they've kept 12 clean sheets. So that's
pretty impressive.
That's incredibly impressive when you think about it. The only two teams to have scored against them in this campaign are Denmark and, bizarrely enough, Albania.
That, in all fairness, though, that was towards the beginning of their campaign.
It was indeed.
When things
it was
were
indeed
very rocky, weren't they?
Yeah, and you know that I think that it was that defeat against Denmark at home that really shook up their campaign, because I think we've mentioned it before on this podcast, they conceded two goals in extra time to go from 2-1 up to three to losing 3-2, I think, in the end it was.
And they finished that qualifying campaign with like five wins on the trot.
Yeah, they did. It was a bar.
Squeaked past Bosnia.
Yeah, and then they got 2-1-0 wins over Bosnia, didn't they? Yeah.
So they can score.
Yeah, they can. Well, they can win matches. I mean, like there were a couple of 0-0 draws as well in that campaign, which didn't help their qualification any. And of course, they started this campaign with a 0-0. But obviously, like the 7-0, everyone's got to look at that and like look at a tiring North Korea, and they certainly put them to the sword in the second half.
Yeah, that 0-0 against the Ivory Coast is probably as good a gauge as any that we can take from their first round games.
Which is the one thing that I think we are going to see quite a tight game. I don't think we're going to see an open, expansive game. So there you go. I've put a negative prediction out. So hopefully I will be as wrong as ever.
I tell you what, though, just to break off, just because I feel we need to kind of, in the light of people on the other side of the planet who are disseminating all our predictions at the moment, and as you said, I think the other day, Terry, like death by a thousand cuts. We did actually, if nothing else, in the England game the other day, we said England are likely to score from a set piece, probably from a corner. I think you yourself said, Graham. So I mean, don't just be laughing at us all the way through. This isn't just a comedy podcast, you know. We are trying to kind of, lay our thoughts on the line there. But anyway, I mean, we've talked a lot about. Go on, Graham.
If you pan through a load of old crap, then sometimes you might find a little nugget of gold.
You need yourself a nugget. Yes, works for me. Admittedly, we've been focusing quite a bit on Portugal in this chat, but I think probably because it's very easy to focus on Spain, given all their starlets in their squad. There's no doubt about it, that Spain have got plenty of talent at their disposal. But the curious thing, of course, is that Torres is not exactly in the same sort of free-scoring form, a bit like Rooney, really, for Spain. He's become, dare I say, almost like a Heskey character. He's actually been sort of providing the support for people like David Villa. That would suit Spain, though, wouldn't it, as long as it keeps providing the goals?
As long as the goals keep rolling in. And, Spain would have to look at it as a long campaign as well. You would imagine, you expect Spain. I mean, assuming Spain win, you expect them to sort of, really get as far as maybe the final, certainly the semi-final. And so there's still time for a player like Torres to make perhaps a more fundamental and telling contribution at some point later in the tournament. I'm not saying he's keeping his powder dry, but yes, perhaps the way Spain have set themselves up, that he has, he has to be play a more sacrificial role, and allow David Villa the glory. But that is liable to. I mean, he had dimension to the attack that a lot of other teams don't have. So, I mean, if the worst comes to the worst, if for instance David Villa was off injured, I don't think Spain fans would necessarily need to worry too much, because Torres is quite capable of stepping up to the fore and scoring the goals. Even if there's a minor formation change, though. Indeed. So, it's not a bad guy to sort of like have in your pocket, so to speak.
to promote to main striker. You were going to say something there.
Well, Graham. I was saying, dare we say that Torres looks a little bit tired, perhaps?
Oh, don't start that argument. Well,
yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, I was thinking about this on the way home, because I think about football on the way home from work, and I was wondering how many Premier League players are left in this World Cup, and I was going to sit down at some point. I think with the quarterfinals I decided I'm going to have a look down and see how many Premier League players are left in the World Cup and see whether or not
I think the naysayers to the whole tired argument are looking at people like Tevez and Mascherano. Whereas I suppose you can look on the flip side and say, well, you know, Drogba didn't do much. He had a broken arm. Torres hasn't done much, and Fabregas hasn't got has been on the bench, isn't he? So
And England haven't done much, or rather, should say, didn't do much.
Sorry,
Chris, please carry on.
No, I was just going to say we're rapidly running out of time for this first segment of the show. But I was just going to very quickly throw in the fact that, I mean, if you're going to sort of dig up all the old England sort of arguments from the other day, there's one line of suggestion that people are saying that the England team don't tactically play the same way as many of the top clubs do in the Premier League. And I was just reading an article earlier on from World Soccer recently, where an interview with Vicente del Bosque, who basically said, that is what we do in the Spanish team. We play the same way as Barcelona, as Real Madrid, Liverpool, all the top clubs. Because he figures that if you're going to get the best out of your players, why not play the way that they're used to? So, but that's for another day, I suspect.
Yes.
But I just thought it was an interesting insight to throw in.
Yeah, I'm not sure I completely subscribe to that view, but you're right. That is for another day, yeah.
Indeed. Something to mull over, as it were. Anyway, we need to draw a line under that. We've got to dash off now and actually watch the first half of this game.
Hurrah.
Of course, it will be Spain. Hurrah, indeed. And we'll be speaking to you again in just a few moments' time with our thoughts at the half-time break. Welcome along to part two of the show. And as the score stands at half-time, it's Spain 0, Portugal 0. And I think it's fair to say it's the cagey affair we predicted perhaps it would be. And, let's come to you first, Graham. Spain seemed to have the early exchanges. I think they had about three efforts in about the first 5 or 6 minutes. And then gradually, little by little, Portugal managed to find their footing in the game and had the later exchanges. Would that seem about right?
Yeah. I think it's not the worst goalless half we've seen in the tournament by any stretch. I think it's been an interesting encounter. And that's an exactly right sort of summary of the first half, really. I think Portugal have looked a lot more dangerous, especially in the last 20, 25 minutes or so.
Yes.
And Casillas has come to their rescue a couple of times, really, at the back for Spain. Yeah, I mean, it does look like, you know, Spain are the ones sort of really searching for some idea of how to break Portugal down. It's very much like an un-Spain-like performance, really, I suppose. But I don't think that's through any sort of poor play on their part. I think it's more down to Portugal just doing a good job there.
Well, certainly, Terry, Portugal are very dense in defence. They've got a huge number of players at the back defending, and I mean, I would sort of add to that, possibly my own sort of thought is that perhaps Spain have just, they've found their last their final touch, their final ball has perhaps let them down a bit. But yeah, Portugal are defending very thoroughly, aren't they?
Yes, perhaps a little bit too deeply, but I don't suppose there's much they can do about that, because it is, after all, Spain they're playing against, and Spain are a very good side. But I think if Spain maybe could find a little bit more width, they might have a bit more joy against them. But I think I agree with Graham. I think that Portugal of the chances that they've had, Portugal's chances have been a bit more telling. They should have scored. Almeida, I don't know what the situation there. I don't know. I think it might have been the fullback, who I'm very impressed with, Portuguese fullback Quantro, which isn't how you pronounce his name, really. I've been very impressed with him. I thought he was really good. I think it was his ball into Almeida, which really was meant for Ronaldo at the far post. And Almeida, I don't know whether he didn't hear a call, or maybe Portuguese players don't call And if he'd left it, Ronaldo was unmarked at the far post and should have scored.
Yeah.
And then there's Ronaldo's free kick as well, which sort of stung the palms of Iniesta. When they attacked, they've looked a lot more incisive than Spain. Having said that, I can kind of see Spain, the longer it goes on like this, I can see Spain finding a way through. But I think Portugal, there's definitely possibly one or two goals in this game, and it could well be, one all.
I think, maybe one goal sort of open it all up a bit, perhaps, and we'll start certainly seeing perhaps Portugal opening up from their dense defence, perhaps a little bit more often. Yeah, but like I said, that's been the trend anyway towards the end of the half. One thing I noticed is that Portugal have, when they've been going on the attack, they've tended to favour going down the right wing. And I've had a look at my newspaper team sheet here, the way that the teams are supposedly set up, and that means that they're trying to exploit, in the nicest possible sense, Pique, who plays on the left side of the Spanish defence. Do we know anything about him? Is he like susceptible to being kind of easily overrun, or is he old or something, or slow? Because it seems like there's been a lot of play down that right-hand side, or at least there was at times. I don't know. You've got your Ronaldo, who is positioned on the right, and we've seen him doing his usual thing, certainly what he did a lot of at Man United, which is sort of basically going all over the pitch. He's been playing on the left and the right. So
he switched quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's very sort of unselfish of him, I think, to do so much running around, and if anything's likely to sort of make something happen for Portugal, then it's probably that, I reckon. As you said, Terry, they've had a couple of chances, the free kick which Casillas struggled to hang on to, and so on and so forth. One thing that's been sort of said by a few different people is that Portugal, on the face of it, seem to be a one-trick pony, or a one-man team, even in the sense that sort of Ronaldo's there, but they've got rather more in their team to fall back on, as we mentioned before the start of the game. Spain, on the other hand, have got seemingly top name quality everywhere. Are they making enough use of the sort of every member of the team, would you say, Graham? I mean, are they kind of?
I don't know. Maybe they're making too much use of everyone in the team.
Yeah.
Maybe if there was one central focus, then that's where their play would be sort of like funneling towards. It seems like Portugal haven't exactly parked the bus.
Hmm.
Because they're making lots of attacks themselves, but the defence is always willing to come and help. The midfield, sorry, is always willing to come and help out in defence. Mm. And I think it's making it very hard for those through balls from midfield onto Torres and Villa. None of them are getting through, are they? They're all being cut off or misdirected. Like I said, I mean, I don't think it's because the big stars they've got there are playing particularly badly. I think it's just because because Portugal are playing well. It may not be what we want to see as far as knockabout fun's concerned, but it still makes it a fascinating football tie, I think.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the game.
Yeah.
The only thing that I lament is as I just alluded to earlier. It would have been even better, this sounds terribly obvious, but if Portugal had managed a goal, then that really would have made the game very exciting, because, then there's even more impetus on Spain going forward.
If you see a goal from Portugal, though, you're going to see a very, very different game. I think they will park the bus then, because I think they'll back themselves to keep a clean sheet.
What do you think of Torres? What do we think of Torres? I mean, I have to say, now that having had a really good opportunity to look at Torres this half, I don't think he's played, apart from that initial exchange at the beginning of the game, I don't think he's played that well. I thought he really badly dealt with a pass from Iniesta that was sort of, won quite well by Iniesta and then passed straight to Torres. And he didn't realise that there was a defender right behind him, and I thought that was poor play on his part. Mm. What do we think about how he's having the game?
I was initially quite encouraged, because he seemed to be in from what I've seen of him in the other games, he seemed to be a little bit off the boil somewhat. But at the early exchanges in the game, he seemed to be much more involved. But as I sort of alluded to earlier on, I think as you said there, Terry, but for a decent sort of final pass or a final touch on the ball, they might have been a bit more successful. And I think he was instrumental in that. He was sort of, ball control and awareness of the other players around him. I think there's plenty of room for improvement, but I feel that he's playing a bit better than in some of the other matches. He seems to be, when we spoke before the game about the fact that he's kind of almost being like a provider for David Villa, but he seemed to be kind of perhaps taking on a bit more responsibility himself in this game and perhaps trying to sort of score more himself rather than being a provider. I don't know if that tallies up with anybody else's view.
Well, I don't think neither of them have seen much of the ball, but I think he's probably seen a bit more than Villa has. I'm just going on observation rather than any stats I've seen. I think it's just the fact because Portugal are defending very deep and especially the midfield, it's just making life very, very tough, and there's hardly any space for them to work in, especially not with the balls that sort of Torres likes, which is like into space in front of him that he can run onto, and that's just not happening for him.
No.
Yeah, he has a wonderful time when Liverpool are playing counter-attacking, which they do quite a lot under Benitez, don't they? And he loves that because that's the quick ball,
especially when he gets out in wide positions. I mean, how many times have you seen him pick the ball out wide and run directly at the goalkeeper?
Yeah,
I know, scaring the willies out of the centre half or fullbacks in front of him. Yeah, but I mean that isn't going to happen in this game, and it isn't going to happen in this World Cup to him. And perhaps he's suffering a little bit for that. But I mean, I agree that generally neither team are playing badly. Spain are playing well. Portugal are playing very well. And it's just these two styles at the moment are two approaches are cancelling each other out, and it is an intriguing match. I'm looking forward to the second half.
Yes, just conveniently while we were just speaking there, on Match of the Day they showed you Torres in action and why he's been perhaps a bit ineffective, and that they basically were saying that as soon as Torres got the ball, he had the middle two defenders of Portugal straight away blocking his path, and he just couldn't get through him, which is pretty much in a nutshell what we were aiming at there, I think. Anyways, as I speak, I think the second half is about to start, so we should push off now, and you will have a few moments of respite, and we'll come back in again in a moment and speak to you after the match is finished to give you our review of the entire match and how everything went. So we'll speak to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
And so to part three, where we can tell you, you already know, it's finished Spain 1, Portugal 0, David Villa with the scorer just after the hour mark. And, I was just saying to you, Terry, before we came online, it looked for a while as though we may be heading for penalties, but luckily that eventuality was denied us. And, a nicely worked goal, after which Spain did a good job, just slowed everything down and kind of shut up shop, really. It was a good performance from that point of view.
Yes, I thought Spain's goal was purely down to brilliant passing by them. Can't really fault too much the way Portugal played up to that point. They played as they had in the first half. Just a wonderful combination play and a gorgeous, gorgeous backflip.
Yes.
Back flip, back heel from Xavi. In the end, a decent finish from David Villa, who I think was probably their best. If it had been an ITV game, he'd have got the ITV Live Man of the Match award, no question about it.
What a wonderful thing that is. I mean, of course, I'm overgeneralising when I say they just shut up shop, as if to say it was an absolute cakewalk, but it wasn't, because Portugal did come back with a few chances of their own. Graham, I mean, Portugal a bit of a threat from time to time. They had a couple of chances. I'm just looking now at the highlights being replayed on Match of the Day, and a chance there earlier on from, I think it was it Almeida who sort of flicked a shot and it looped up and just went past the post?
Far be it from me to sort of like question Carlos Queiroz's decisions, but it did seem a bit strange that you take off Almeida so soon in the half. Especially with the quite clear prospect that extra time was going to be could easily be an issue. It wasn't, obviously, but Yeah, it struck me because I don't think he'd had that bad a game, and then all of a sudden he's been taken off. I mean, yeah, it was interesting because obviously Torres was taken off at the same time, and that looked all too familiar, didn't it? For regular watchers of the Match of the Day.
Yes, as you said on Twitter at the time, it was a bit stranger not going cutting away to a bunch of Liverpool fans expressing dismay as Torres leaves the pitch.
Heads in hand.
But the Spanish fans, obviously, perhaps a little bit clearer on things. I thought Almeida's substitution was a real error, I have to say. Again, I mean, not wishing to pretend that I know more about football than Carlos Queiroz, but in hindsight, it certainly was an error. And the first thing Danny did when he came on, because Danny replaced him, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
first
right.
thing he did was play himself into the most obvious offside position that you could be. You know, looking for a return ball while standing on the goal line. I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
And then looked really hacked off when he was called as well.
I know, really outraged. I mean, look, I was being clever there.
Yeah, do you know who I am?
Monumentally stupid.
Permission to use the phrase "basic schoolboy error," please.
Yeah, it was almost like he completely sort of misunderstood this whole Bosman freedom of movement thing.
He thought, yes, as a citizen of the EU, I'm entitled to be here.
Oh dear. This is not what I entered into this career to be treated like.
Llorente's was a good... Llorente's obviously made some kind of difference. Was it Llorente's who made the difference?
Llorente, yeah. For the goal, point blank header saved, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the goal itself and looking in subsequently at the way that Spain played afterwards, I mean, there were some chances that Llorente's had after the goal, again, with very much the ball being played, you know, ahead of him. And in fact, if Torres had still been on the pitch, he'd have eaten those kind of chances alive. Mm. But would Spain have scored with Torres on the pitch? Mm. Was Llorente's substitution, you know, a key moment for Spain?
Mm. Well, it certainly mixed things up a bit, didn't it? Because, I mean, especially after the goal, Portugal looked a bit shocked, didn't they? And they looked a bit all over the place. And I think if Spain had actually been a bit more adventurous, I think they could have easily got a second goal. They chose to sit back on the 1-0, and that was it. But I think it's... And of course, there was that very curious sending off at the end.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're watching the replays there, Chris. I mean, like, have they showed any more of it? And because the first replay they showed, obviously, didn't get anywhere near it. And then they pulled back from this one from the side, and then all of a sudden, maybe you did catch him.
I haven't seen it on the replay yet, but when they showed that, in fact, I think they showed two angles at the time that looked as if it was a foregone conclusion. It was the third one that was suddenly opened up, and I kind of blinked or looked away or something and looked back and I'd missed it. I don't think they've sort of shown it since, but it looked harmless enough at the time, but to be honest, it was only like a minute from the end, so it was kind of I don't know.
The interesting thing about that was that Costa had been indulging in a bit of handbags with Villa earlier on in that half. On two occasions, he got. I don't think he was very happy with Villa. I wonder why. Because he'd been running in ragged all evening, and I wonder whether or not maybe the ref had sort of like spied this and then just thought, look, you know, that whether he got the wrong end of the stick of the actual incident itself, I don't know. But I thought, right, okay, that's it. I've had enough of you. You're off.
Yeah.
Maybe he might have clocked that Costa had been in a bit of a, you know, been looking for trouble earlier on in the half, and maybe that influenced the referee's decision. I don't know.
Possibly. Yeah, absolutely. He probably should have thought, well, what have I got to lose? There's only a minute or two left. I'll show him a red card.
This is probably where England fans jump in and go, oh, what, Portuguese player getting sent off by being provoked unfairly? What goes around comes around, and so on ad nauseum.
Yes, but you know what these people can do, can't you?
Yeah, they can wait for the next World Cup is what they can do.
Yeah, then pay their money to go see it, the idiots.
We hate England fans, even though we are. We hate ourselves. We suck.
Oh, well, there we are. I mean, that's pretty much that. That's the eighth and final second round match. Eighth? Is that right? Yes, eight?
And, of course, as the stat I tweeted earlier now is borne out in full now. Out of the eight group winners, seven got through. And the only one that didn't get through was the one that beat England. Yes.
Make of that what you will. Well, yes. The quarterfinal lineup is kind of a mixed bag in a way, but we've got Holland against Brazil, which should be a tremendous game, I reckon.
Yeah, afternoon's off for that one, I think.
Afternoon off for that. That's a 3 o'clocker on Friday, this coming Friday. And then on the evening of Friday, you've got Uruguay against Ghana, which is a really sort of odd one, really, but all the better for bringing a bit of variety into proceedings, I think. And then, I was going to say the big one, and I forgot we'd already mentioned Holland-Brazil, so it's a contender for the big one, Argentina versus Germany on Saturday afternoon. And we now know from today's games that the fourth and final quarterfinal is going to be Paraguay against Spain. Paraguay, who won on penalties against Japan earlier on. First, I think it's the only game so far that's finished on penalties. So all looking good. I've no idea quite how our predictions are getting on from the programme we did, the preview, but it looked to me, last time I looked, as though we'd got the sort of second half of the draw all right. Ooh. But the first half went completely out the window in terms of getting the top two in each group, I mean.
Oh, I've got the sheet in front of me right now, actually. Well, I think we
don't know what we're doing.
We said Spain would get through against Portugal, so
no, stop now, Graham. That's enough. That's all they want to hear.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it, really. Oh man, what were we thinking? We must have been really drunk when we did that.
Yes, that's what it was. Yes, we were very drunk. Yes. Anyway, there we are. So that's more or less that, but just a little bit of extra housekeeping to be done before we push off until the next podcast. Just want a shout out to Colin Zeal, who got in touch with us via some people on the pitch who basically listened to the podcast and exchanged some opinions of his. And Colin, if you're listening, let us know where you're contacting us from. I'm guessing Sweden. I've had a look on his website. I think he's from Sweden. But Colin, if you're listening, thanks for getting in touch and asking us a few questions about our strange view on why we thought England were so bad, and even why we thought Germany weren't too much cop before the Germany-England game. But anyway, but if anybody else wants to get in touch, you can do exactly the same thing. You can contact us via Some People on the Pitch or the Sound of Football podcast. The Sound of Football website, I should say, soundoffootball.blogspot.com. Or why not fill your boots and go to footballfairground.com. You'll find that is an umbrella for all of our output at the moment, footballfairground.com. Alternatively, we'd love it if you could leave us some feedback on iTunes. Absolutely love it.
Like that.
I don't think anybody's actually dared leave us any feedback on iTunes yet, and there's probably a good reason for that. But
too scared.
Do go to iTunes and leave us some lovely feedback if you don't mind. And the only other thing to tell you about is last call really for Socrates 5. Regular listeners to Sound of Football will know that occasionally we have these events. If you're a London football blogger or a podcaster and you live in or near London, then do come along and see us and other people of the same ilk in London, in Vauxhall, where we all get together, have a few beers, watch some football, and this Friday we'll be doing the very same once again, another event skillfully organised by our very own Terry, along with those wonderful people at Pick Live Football. If you go to the Socrates website, which is socratesmeetup.blogspot.com, you'll find all the details there on how you can come along, how you can contact us, and where you've got to go to, and where we'll be, and all the rest of it. It's great fun, so do come along. If you haven't been before, push the boat out and come and see us. We'll be glad to meet your acquaintance on the night. That's this Friday, the 2nd of July. I reckon that's probably about all for now. We've said what we've got to say. Gents, if there's no other business, I think we'll say goodbye for now. Until next time, thanks very much indeed for listening. See you again soon, hopefully. Bye-bye for now from myself, Terry and Graham.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.